May is literally the hardest month for myself and my brother, Jaheim. Now, I have two brothers and two sisters. One brother and two sisters by my father's side. My father got married to their parent, to their mom. And one brother, which is Jaheim, which you're about to hear in this interview, on my mother's side. And my mother got married to his father. So, we share the same mother. It's the hardest month for both of us. Well, for me, it's a little more bittersweet. And for Jaheim, I think it would be a little bit more bitter. And I say it's bittersweet for me because there are two important concepts in life that keeps flashing. And that's life and death. On the 1st of May, 2014, we lost our mother. And, you know, this month making it 7 years ago. And on the 2nd of May, I celebrate the birth of my father, life and death. It's tough, but I get a little ease to celebrate him because I love him too. Now for Jaheim, it's bitter because when mommy died, he was 7 years old. And so he doesn't have much to rely on. So he doesn't remember much. But I know for a fact that he understood, because I remember when I was leaving, I usually travel in the summer on a program called School Work and Travel Program when I was in university. And I was leaving, I had to remind him of this the other day. And because he loved drawing, and he still loves to draw to date. And I asked him, I said, brother, just draw something for me to travel with so that, you know, I can remember you. And he said, okay, you know, because he was young. And he drew a picture. I will show it on my social media page. So for those who are listening will actually see the picture. And in the picture, he drew mommy in a coffin. And he drew angels and God and her spirit going up. And, you know, some of us sad, all of that. So I knew he understood at 7 years old. And it was just, when I saw that picture, when I looked at the picture when I got to the airport, and when I saw it, it broke me all over again, man. So I knew he understood as young as he was. But it's a little bit harder for him because he doesn't remember much. On the other hand, I was 21 years old. And so I would have had a little bit more time with her, you know, more memories and all of that. And so that's why I said it would be bittersweet for me and a little bit more bitter for him. No. It hasn't been easy, but it's something that we have to deal with. So in this episode, you will hear how we cope, how we feel, and you will just get to know a little bit more about our story on Tosh Base. So stay with us.
Hi, this is Oshane Mays, and you're tuned into Tosh Base with Chantal.
Okay, Jaheim, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for, you know, agreeing to do this with me, as emotional as it might get, or I don't know how it will end. But thank you. Welcome to the podcast, my dear brother.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Jaheim Raj. I'm 14. I attend Bridgeport High School. My future career choices are animation and agriculture. And I love to do drawing and play football.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you, so just so we can get the conversation started, I want to ask you what, as little as it is, I know it's not much, but just share what you remember about mommy. Like, what do you remember doing with her?
I remember, every morning when I was in business school, we get up every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll race to go to like school in the morning, like who first can get ready for go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever reach out first will win. And we keep on doing that from when I was in basic school.
Mm-hmm.
remember like making sandwiches with her and those stuff.
Okay. So how do you feel about, you know, her no longer being here with you?
It feels sad, but I try to pass it, you know, try to feel better, but
say that again?
It feels sad, but I try to move past it and try not to cry all the time, but it brings emotions.
Okay, so with all of that, what do you wish, you know, you had a chance to experience or do with her?
I wish I could have filled up my the subjects what I wanted for high school, what I'm going to do. I wish I could fill that up with her and like tell her like my career choices and those stuff.
Okay. This, I don't know if we're going to finish this interview, but I'm trying. And, you know, thank you again. All right, so thanks for sharing what you remember. As little as it is, you know, it just really, it filled up my heart. It feel good to hear all of that, because I didn't know that you guys usually race to go to school and all of that. So as much as I was there in the house too, I didn't know that. So, you know, thank you for sharing that. So over to you now with your questions that you have for me.
Okay. Describe our mom. Describe mom, how she was, like what she didn't like, what she liked, what she's, things that what she used to say to you, and what she liked to sing, what song.
Okay. So, do you know that mommy was born on the 1st of September? You're supposed to know that because you born September too. She was very industrious, you know, meaning she was a hard worker. She believed in just working for what you want, and she didn't believe in excuses, you know. She was resourceful, like I can go as far back as when she was growing up, you know, to what I remember growing up with her. Because like, you know, from her eulogy, her mother shared that at the time, you know, that she, whenever she sent her to the shop or anything, she would take a long time to come back. Why? Because she knew that she's going to stop at some mango tree to, you know, carry back home mangoes for the entire family. Because she loved mangoes. That was her favorite fruit. She loved mangoes. To the point where sometimes, you know, growing up with her, she would have one left and I would ask for it, you know, just teasingly or just jokingly. Because she would have given me from what she had already. And, you know, she have one and I just teased. Say, mommy, I can't get this. And she'd say to me, you lick your head. You know, and from she said that, me no say, me not get it. Pretty much asking if I'm mad, you know. So that was one of the things that she really loved to say, you lick your head. So she really loved mangoes. She was a hard worker. She loved God. Like she was a prayer warrior. She served on the prison worship team at church at PGA for a long time. And as quiet as she was really good with people. So she loved, especially the elderly and children, really loved them. So most of her friends were even older than her. And you know that Auntie Nikki was our best friend. And there was a song that I remember two songs that she really liked singing. And one is Father in Heaven, How We Love You. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdoms be established in our praises as your people declare your mighty works. You know, that was one of her favorite songs. And the other one was His Blood Will Carry Me. As soon as they asked her to do a selection at church, you know, that would be the song she would draw for. His Blood Will Carry Me All the Way. She was just spirit-filled. Her faith was like no other. I don't know how she did it, but you know, there'll be times when, and I'm sorry if I sound all over the place, but I just really trying here. As I said, she really loved helping people. She would have her last and she'd give it away. You know, like sometimes she would save and she'd give me money to put down. And then she'd come back and ask for it. And I, you know, as a child, I'd wonder why you want it. You know, like, you just give me to save it. Why you want it back so quick? And she'd say she got a call. She wouldn't tell me who called or what, you know, the nature of the call was. But she just says someone called and they need it. And as a child then, you know, 13, 14, 15, I'm wondering then, so what are we going to do when you give away that? And her response to me at all times, you know, was that God will provide and God will make a way. And so he did all the time for us because, I mean, as I say, her faith was like, he was just on another level, man. She wouldn't be the person to argue with anybody. As I said, she was quiet. She reminds me more of you than myself because I'm not quiet. People who probably don't know me would think I'm quiet, but I'm not. But you are quiet. She was very quiet. So she would take things to God in prayer. That's how she fought her battles, in prayer. And, you know, I really admired her for that. What else did it? So yeah, jovial spirit. She had a jovial spirit. She was, as I said, she was good with people. And once you know, like I said, she was quiet. But once you know her, she would talk. She would talk and laugh loud. I think I got that from her. She would talk you out. Like sometimes I remember being in my room and I'm, you know, probably ready to sleep and she's there just talking to me. I say, "Mommy, you know, so you can talk to her." And she just said, "Clear off." Which means like get away or leave me alone. And then I would say, "But honestly, man, you talk too much now, I'm more asleep." But of course, in a respectful way, we really had a good relationship in that if she said something that, you know, I think was questionable, I could say to her respectfully that, "Mommy, I don't think that makes sense." And she would say, "Really? Why you think so?" I would reason it out. You know, we had a really good relationship. Yeah. And so that's what I can describe, you know. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was your childhood with her?
Childhood. Okay. So, well, I don't know if you noticed, but mommy had me at a very early age, in her teenage years. So she was still in high. She was still in school when she had me. And my God, yeah. So. She got saved at 13, yeah, you know, was in church doing all of that, you know, and I guess, you know, of course, mistake. And then, bam, that's how she got pregnant with me. And so she left. So she made the decision because she didn't have to. She made the decision to bring me here, which I'm grateful for. She made a decision to leave school because she's saying, all right, you know, she has to take responsibility for her actions. So she we were in Victoria Town, Manchester at the time. You've been there because, you know, you've been there, yeah, several times. So that's where she was at the time. And, you know, after, you know, having me and all of that, she spent some time and she realized that, listen, you know, she's going to have to leave to make ends meet because she has a young child. No. Mm-hmm. So she left Manchester and went to Kingston to get a job at the time. You know, but she was in school. So, you know, young. I think she was around 17 or thereabouts when she had me. And she went to school. She got a job with somebody to take care of their mother, I think. And that's what she was doing. And then she would visit. So, on weekends, she would come back to Manchester just so that she could see me, you know, spend time, all of that. She left me with Auntie Donna at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was back and forth with Auntie Donna and Grandma at the time, right? And right, so they pretty much, you know, helped in raising me. Major. They played a major part in me, in my development, because mommy had to work, you know, go Kingston, come back to Manchester, Kingston, Manchester, back and forth. And I just say that's how it went. And so most of it was just, I remember whenever she was coming back and, you know, when auntie would tell me that your mother coming today, you know, because I was just always out and about. I wasn't the child who stayed at home or just sit down. I was just always outside. If I'm not climbing a tree, I'm playing cricket with the guys or I just roaming all about. I don't know why, but that was my childhood, you know, part of it. And so when I hear that mommy coming today, you know, I have to be on my best behavior. And as I usually misbehave, but I'm not going to go outside, go play all of those games, and I'm going to make sure that I wear my slippers or that kind of thing, because she really hated when I would be outside barefooted, right, or barefoot. So I always try to, you know, all right, pull up my socks now, mommy, I'll come visit, yada, yada, yada. And so when she come, usually, she, you know, of course, she would bring stuff for me and for everybody. Everybody share bring stuff for, right? And she would...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. And, you know, she would come, you know, spend time, you know, just catch up on, you know, what has been going on with me with school, all of that stuff. Whatever she missed during the week, or if it was a month until she got, you know, she didn't get a chance to come, she just catch up and all of that. So it was really like that until I, you know, I got to the point where I started, as I said, I was back and forth from Manchester to, earlier she was back and forth from Manchester to Kingston. And then like about grade 4, grade 3, or so I was attending Victoria Town All Age at the time. No, it's now a primary school. And there was a time when I left there and I went to Portmore, St. Catherine, to stay. And then at that time, I was attending Ascot Primary. And I just remember mommy always being supportive, always being a part of our school life. In fact, for the little time when I was at Ascot, she got an award, like a parent appreciation award, because, you know, every weekend she would be able, not every weekend, but whenever the school had something, she'd be one of the first parent there, you know. And she loved to cook, you know, how could I forget that?
Yeah.
So she would cook and, you know, give people food, just help. She just really loved helping. And as yeah. I said, she'd just give her last. I don't know how she did it, but, you know, that was her. And so she even got Parent Appreciation Award at your school, because at your basic school, she got appreciation. You know, she got some award at when you were at Saltboro, she got award as well, because that was just her thing. She was just always a part of her life. She was so supportive. You know, when I'm around her or when I'm with her, the courage I had, or just the strength and everything, it was just, I don't know, I just felt like I could do anything. Because once I share what I wanted to do, she supported it and she said, yes, that is what you're going to do. We're going to pray about it and everything will be well. You know, and so that's the attitude I can remember. And, you know, just remember going grocery together and doing chores. I didn't really usually cook with her, but I would watch when she was cooking, you know, some things. And all that. Well, we would joke a lot. We talked a lot. And it was just really a good time. A time that I just wasn't ready to end. But yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Life is uncertain. Many ups and downs, I know. But you'll never be alone or be left in the cold. Touch base on Tosh Base with Chantal.
What were some things you guys did together?
Like I said, we did like shopping and stuff like that. And as you know, she was a cosmetologist too. So she did nails, and so sometimes when she was doing that, I would be, you know, just in the company, in her company. You know, if she needed something, she would call me, Chantal, bring this, Chantal, whatever, whatever. And that's the thing, and that's why I really admired, you know, her strength and everything, because she wasn't making a lot when she was working, right?
Yeah.
But she was able, we weren't hungry. She was able to provide, you know, for us. She was able to get things done. She was able to give people from what she was working, and she was able to save, invest, you know, all of that. And it was just really admirable. I just don't know how she did that, you know, how she was able to extend the little. But as, you know, she always said, God will provide, and God always did, always show up. And I guess that's what really worked, you know, for her. So it's, you know, so I just remember doing stuff like that, you know, laundry, you know, yeah. Watching her cook and all of that, and, you know, going shopping. And she never missed a parent meeting. She never missed a report day. Yeah, so, I mean, she was just really supportive. And if we could have half of her strength and faith, I honestly think, you know, we'll be able to do this thing called life.
Mm-hmm. What was it like after mom's passing? Did it motivate you or push you? motivated?
It was rough. It's still rough, as you know. But I'll just, you know, give you a background. Because when mommy died, you were 7. So, and you know, that's why you really don't remember much. And I was 21. And obviously life changed for both of us, you know. And at the time, I remember one day we were at home. So before I tell you how it was before she passed, I'll just give you a little background. I remember being one day we were at home, and, you know, I came home from, because at the time I was at the University of the West Indies. I was in undergrad.
Yeah.
And of course you were at primary school at Southborough. And I came home, and, you know, mommy was saying that her hand is hurting her. And I was like, you know, we joke about a lot of things. And we started laughing.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah. And when I say mommy, then, yeah, so because I remember why we were laughing is because she didn't cook that evening. And I was so upset. And I was like, mommy, see, you really never cook nothing. And we're hungry. What we going to do? What we going to eat? So just don't tell me and I hurt my man. You going to go prepare something now? And we laugh about something. I said, but mommy, what kind of something this? You can't go on. So as a mother and a wife, you know, we used to joke about this kind of stuff. And she said, Chantal, me and I hurt my man. Me don't know what happened. Me I go to the doctor. We ended up making some sandwiches that evening, I think. You know, so everything was all right. So she go to the doctor. Doctor gave her some medication. So she took that, whatever. Pain still did it. So she kept complaining about the hand. And I said, but that's strange. So she went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, all right, so he's going to send her to do an MRI and some scan. And then she went and she went to the doctor, did the MRI. She came back home because at this time, I was at home. I think you were at home too. She came back home and it was like, doctor says she have to pack her bag and go to KPH, which is Kingston Public Hospital. She just need an overnight bag. So we were confused. Well, I was confused. That's why I say, yeah, and I hurt you. You do a scan. And all of that move from to pack a bag for overnight at the hospital. So we're confused. But, well, and this is one thing about me. I hate the hospital. I don't like hospital. I'm afraid of hospitals. But I thought it was strange. Anyway, she packed the bag and, you know, she went. We said, all right, well, you know, keep us posted. Well, I said, keep me posted. Your father went with her. I said, keep me posted, all of that, you know, whatever. Because, of course, I had to stay home at school and, you know, stay with you. And we're like, all right, keep me posted, whatever. And she went. And I think it was closer to the weekend. So over the weekend, we went to visit. And I went with Auntie Pat. At the time, remember, I don't like hospital. I'm afraid of hospital. This was the first time I was going to see her. Because at this time, nothing was, you know, serious or anything. Like, it's just the pain was just consistent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so she got to the hospital, she got to KPH now so they can find out what's going on. And when I went to the hospital, man, and when she was on the first bed. And when I went and stepped inside, I had to turn back because I couldn't do it. Because I don't like hospital, and I've never seen my mother in the hospital before. So when I stepped in and I saw her on the bed, man, I lost it. So I had to run out. Auntie Pat had to run behind me. I said, Chantal, it's going to be okay. You know, you have to be strong for mommy. Nothing going to happen. You know, nothing is going to happen. Just, you know, we're just here to visit, whatever. So after crying, I went inside and, you know, tried to get myself together. And you know, I was there, you know, just giving her an update, and she said, don't worry, my daughter, whatever. That's another thing. She usually called me Mommy One Daughter or Chantal or Mackie. And as for you, she'd call you Mommy One Son, JJ, Jaim, or Sweet Pea. So she called you Sweet Pea. I was like, Mommy, why are you calling the little boy Sweet Pea? That no mean princess. So she'd usually say it to me so that it can't mean prince too. And, you know, we'd laugh about that because she'd say, you're her prince. And we say, okay, fine, as you wish. And she said, Mommy, one daughter, we are crying for nothing going to happen. We have to come home soon, you know, whatever. I said, all right, you know, we spend a little time at the hospital and then we went home. And then, you know, I would say, all right, you know, whatever. But then the time just had passed and she didn't come home. You know, of course, she was getting news from the doctors or whatever between her, Auntie Nikki, and your father. But, you know, they weren't telling me a lot of things. And I guess because they didn't want to worry me. So even after, so she was just in and out of hospital. She was just moving from hospital to hospital, from KPH to Chase Hospital. And it just wasn't adding up. And as I say, it was early time. So this was in December 2013. And then in 2014, January, she was able to come out of the hospital and, you know, spend New Year's and all of that with us. And then after that, we said she was told that she has to go back to the hospital. So from January to April, she has been in the hospital between, as I said, between KPH and Chase. So, you know, it just become, you know, confusing. And so after classes at UWE, I would either go visit the hospitals in the mornings or in the evening after classes to bring fruits, you know, water, whatever it is that she needed. Because I was in final year, final semester at UWE. And I don't know, I just realized that each day it just got harder and harder, and then worse, because I wasn't being told much. I don't know if it's, you know, it was her that told him not to tell me much or whatever. So some of the time Auntie Nikki had to tell me some stuff, or Auntie Pat had to tell, you know, just pull me aside and tell me some stuff. But it was just a confusing time. All of this, you know, of course you were seven, so you much wouldn't bother you. You know, and she was just always strong. She whenever I go to the hospital, she wouldn't cry. She wouldn't, you know, she wouldn't seem like she was sick. Or she wouldn't seem like she was in the hospital. She wouldn't seem worried or anything. As I said, she was just always still praying. And whenever Pastor Reed and everybody would visit and come back, they would say, "Your mother is in good, you know, she's in good strength, or she's in good spirit. And I was like, "Okay, thank you. Because I'm like, you know, that not do much for me, I need her to come home. At the time, but you know, she was just still believing that she would pull through. And after, when she got the I didn't know at the time of the diagnosis, so, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer and tumors. When she got the diagnosis, I didn't know right away until later though. And of course, you know, the doctor's decision was that she needed to start chemo because it's moving rapidly. And the tumors in the head not helping. In fact, they were probably wondering how she stayed so long with two tumors in her head, right? And I remember when I was going back and forth, and her head was covered, and I wouldn't question. You know, there were some things that I just wouldn't ask because I didn't want to stress her. Little did I know that at the time she was losing her hair, and she didn't want me to know. So she told Auntie Nikki, you know, Nikki, just corner me hair back so me can put on the cap before Chantal come, because me no want she see. She no want me see her like that. And, you know, that's what Auntie Nikki did. And so I just didn't know a lot until later. Because, you know, they were hiding a lot from me because, you know, at the situation, they don't want me to worry. They don't, you know, she wanted me to finish school and all of that. Because last semester, as I said, then this just happened out of nowhere, you know. And I used to seeing mommy like that. And then, you know, she pretty much just almost became a vegetable kind of thing. It was just really rough. And I remember saying to her that, I think I had signed up that same year to go back on the work and travel program, that summer program that, you know, I usually do.
Yeah.
And I said to her, "Mommy, I'm not going this year because I need to be here for you." And she said, no, Shanta, you're mad. You have to go because we register already, you pay already. I will be here when you come back, but you need to do this for you. You have to go. You register already, so you're going." And this was probably like about February, March, because then I usually leave about May. To come back in September for school. And I just remember things just getting worse and worse, you know. And at this time, I just going fast forward because, you know, I was going fast forward to answering the question that you really asked about how was it right after the passing. I was going fast forward to, you know, when she came out of the hospital in April. And her parents at the time and siblings and everything, because, you know, she's from Manchester, as I said earlier. They said that they think that she needed a change of environment. And she was having a lot of seizures. She didn't remember some stuff. I can remember one day being in the room with her, and she said, "Chantal, move the bucket out of the middle of the room." And me, I look, because me, I say, "Which bucket? No bucket, no day." And she said, Shanta, move the book. She'll get upset. Move the book into the middle of the room. And me, I said, oh, Jesus, what she had talk about? I said, all right, I'm gonna move the bucket. So I pretend to move the bucket, but there was no bucket. It was just these little things, you know, did I add up to me, and I come to me and say, listen, something is not right, you know? And of course, I couldn't cry in front of her and all of that. So I just leave the room and I, you know, break down and come back around. But I just really tried to spend as much time as I could. And then, as I say, I was trying to finish up school because I know that I wasn't going to quit, you know, because she had worked hard enough, she and my father, to pay for what they could pay for me to go to school and, you know, to encourage me to be there for me and everything. So I couldn't make all of that go down the drain. Right. So I just going fast forward, as I say. And so when she came home in April, you know, she went to Manchester for a week. And, you know, we talked over the phone and they said, and Auntie Donna and everybody said that she's doing a little better. She's doing better. And we say, okay, good. So they asked if she could stay another week. And we say, all right, you know, I mean, it's her place. Her mother was there, her father was there, siblings, all of that, you know. Her mother and father were alive at that time. They passed a couple of years after her. So may their souls also rest in peace. I remember one day sitting down in the couch at home. You were at school and your father was at work. And Auntie Donna called me. This was May. The first of May. It was a Thursday, 2014. As I say, I'm fast-forwarding because I, you know, can't manage to say everything.
Yeah.
First of May, 2014, a Thursday, I was sitting in the house and I was trying to study because it was finals, time for finals. And because you normally have the finals around that time. So I think my first exam would have been the following week because it was a Thursday. So I was studying over the weekend to do the exam the following week because I decided that I wasn't going to stop. I have to finish my exam because, you know, work so hard, parents work so hard to get me to where I'm at. I'm not going to stop to waste all of that money to then go pay back money to do exam or school again. So I said, I'm going to finish up. So I was sitting in the couch with a book trying to study. It was hard because, you know, things weren't going well. And then, you know, your mother's sick. And it just was hard, you know. And so I was sitting in the couch with the book and I was really trying. I was in and out of sleep and studying. And then my phone ring and I answer, and it was Auntie Donna. She said, Shanti. I said, yes, Auntie. She said, when mommy born again? I said, September 1st. And then she said the year, because she remembered the year. And I said, yeah. She said, okay, all right. All right, me soon call you back. And me, I said, okay. Me, I said, everything all right? She said, yeah, man, don't worry yourself. Me soon call you back. And me said, okay. So I put on the phone, because me, I said, I thought, it was weird that she called me to ask me that. But then again, I wasn't thinking much because I'm thinking that mommy's getting better. And I didn't know the procedure after someone dies, you know, say people come, you know, police come, yada, yada. I didn't know the procedure. And I was just of the perception that mommy was going to get better. So I was there and so I tried to read again. And then I got another phone call it was Uncle Junior at the time. And he said, Nisi, well, go on. And I said, no, all right, may I try to study? He said, okay, yeah, man, go on, do your thing, or yourself, uncle, love you, later. He said, all right, hang up the phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say, it's weird. Why is so much family member call me today? What is happening? Mm-hmm. I mean, I say, God, what is happening? So I sit down there. I mean, I stare upon the wall. I mean, I talk to God. I mean, I say, God, what is happening? And the spirit kept on saying to me, study, study. So I said, all right. So I forgot about it, the two phone calls. I mean, I tried to study again. So as I said, in between studying, I was falling asleep. Jump up, phone ring the third time now. It was Auntie Lane. Shanta! I'm laughing because I don't want to cry. And I'm also laughing because I think it was funny. Thinking about it, no, it's funny. Who you call somebody like that? She has shouting in my ears, Shanta! I said, yes, Auntie. We are sure warm to you. Mommy, daddy, now? I said, what? The phone fell, the book fell, and I was just staring at the wall. And I said, no, 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 God, no, no, no. Well, she just said to me, no, no, no. And she was still on the phone. Hello, hello. She said, hello, hello, until she hung up. And I was saying, God, no, 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 no. Well, she just said to me, I said, no, 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 no. She had mistaken. No, 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 no. And that's just how I was just sitting there. That's just how I was just sitting there and saying, no, 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 no. And I remember, and then the fourth call come in, and it was Auntie Donna, and she said, Chantal, because she didn't know that Auntie Lane called me and said that.
Yeah.
And she said, Chantal, I said, yes, Auntie. She said, I want you to sit down. Because I was standing, I was in between standing and sitting and just saying, no. I said, I'm sitting, Auntie. What happened? Because me, I said, me now believe Auntie Lane, just tell me. Because that's not the news I was listening to here, you know? And I said, no, God. And she said, Chantal, just sit down. And she said, you know that mommy love you, right? You and Jaim. And I said, yes, Auntie, for what is happening? And she said, don't worry yourself. She said, listen to me. Mommy gone. And I don't want you to be too weak. I want you to try and be strong for yourself and your brother, because you're going to need each other. Mommy lived a good life. She worked hard for you too, for the two of you. She did what she could, and she just knows that she loves you guys, and you have a future ahead of you. Two of you have a future ahead. So though mommy's gone, this is just how she was talking to her. I want you to know that you can do this. You guys can do this. God will be there. And of course, we are here. That's what she said. And I started to, I don't remember how the phone call ended, but I know that I was breaking. I lost it, you know. And I think Auntie Nikki picked you up that day from school. And when your father came home the evening, we went to Manchester. Because she said while she had called me to ask about mommy birthdays, because she needed to give the police the information because they were there. And she said to me, don't worry, mommy was so beautiful this morning. She was so pretty this morning, and she was speaking, and she asked her what she wanted to eat, and we gave it to her. But and she said she should have known, but she wasn't thinking that, because that's not what she was hoping for. And she said she was really sorry she didn't take a picture to show us, but she said she was glowing. And I guess after eating and taking medication, she just slept off, and you know, that was it. And your father and I and Uncle Vasu, we went to Manchester because, you know, of course, you have to identify the body and all of that. We went to the funeral home. So we got to the funeral home. Your father went inside, and because I couldn't go, I said, I'm not going inside. So I stayed outside. And he went inside, identified the body. He came out and he said to me that, yeah, it's her. And that's it. Of course, you know, we went to Victoria Town, which is the little area that we're from. And then stay some time in all of this, me just numb, because me not understand why that happened, and I couldn't see beyond the day. And so we went back to King Portmore, to the house, and as I say, I think you were by Auntie Nikki, and I don't know, I was just numb. And while it motivated me, it pushed me to know, you know, to be a better person for myself and for you, you know, because I want to do everything for you that she didn't get a chance to do. It motivates me to, it also, her death also gave me perspective in that it could have been worse. In that it was God was and is good. In that, I was able to, I don't know, at 21, you know, your mindset different. So at that time, by that time, I was already responsible. I could already cook. I could already take care of myself. And, you know, I could also help with you, because I was taking you to daycare from you were a baby, all of that, picking you up, everything, whatever. So, he was so good to put us in positions that, you know, would have been able for me to move on. As I said, I was doing the work and travel program. So from that, I had money saved to help with, you know, my finances and all of that. And there was just something. And then the persons that lives that she touched, you know, people were there for us. I don't know, people here, people there. I don't know, some people that came, that supported, I don't know where they came from. But because of the life that she lived, you know, God put us, surround us with good people to help. And, you know, so that helped a lot. I just knew that, listen, I couldn't stop. Because even after undergrad, because I wasn't planning on doing a master's at all, because I wanted to go into the working world. But after that happened, after the passing, on the 1st of May, 2014, and, you know, I prayed and I asked God just to help me to do the exams, just the bare minimum, just to do what I could to do the exams, because I'm not going to stop. I can't redo. I just going to have to do my best and complete this chapter. And, you know, God gave me strength to get through, to study what, you know, to study and retain what I could and to pass my exams and finish the chapter. And I said to myself, I was a mess. I was a complete mess. So there was no way I was ready to go into the working world. And that's what I wanted to do initially. So because of that, I say, you know what? I honestly going to have to stay in school, because school was my safe haven at the time. So I said, I'm going to enroll in master's school. So I signed up late for master's school, got through, and then I decided to just stay there, because staying home wasn't going to be an option, because staying home would have been more painful. And then I don't know if, you know, things would have work out well being at home, because I don't know what I would do for myself being at home. So I enrolled in master's school, and I wasn't my best in master's school, you know, personality-wise or academically-wise or academic-wise, but I just tried to do my best to get through. And that's what happened, you know, with God's strength, with God's grace and mercy and everything, and just the people that he, you know, had around us. And the prayers that mommy prayed, you know, it was just still relevant. And So after the passing, though, I couldn't manage, because at the time I was a president of the youth group at PGA, Youth in Action Group, you know it, youth group. I was a president at the time. I was in ushering, I was in multimedia, I was in what's it called, women's fellowship. I said to God, God, I can't leave now, because I don't know who I am anymore. You know, not until mommy died that I realized how sheltered I was and how much I depended on her, you know, as much as she was quiet and I was more an extrovert as opposed to her. And I said, God, listen, I can't serve. I came out to all my ministries for some time, like I took some time away. I was still going to church, but what really saved me is just the fact that I had a relationship with God for myself. And as much as I had questions, my sessions with God became just questions, asking questions, why? And when I'm not asking questions, I'm just crying. But, you know, the good thing is that he understood my heart. He understood, you know, what I was going through. I even detached myself from relationships, you know, from friendships and all of that. I just couldn't deal with people. I just didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to be alone, because as I said, in this time I need to find who I am, because I don't know who I am anymore. That was my thing. And that's what I said to God. God, I can't lead. I can't serve, because I don't know who I am. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I need help, because I was just broken, right? And I don't really... There are some things that I just don't talk about to people, you know. I just prefer to, is either going to keep it to myself or I'm going to tell God, you know. And that's what I did. So after the passing, it was rough. It's still rough, but it gave a perspective and it motivated me to try my best at all times, because when I remember the many sacrifices that mommy made for us, man, trust me, I'd be ungrateful to just stop or just to give up. As hard as it was, I had to remember the memories are what I had to rely on, and the hard work and everything to just push through, you know. And it's still not easy, because sometimes, you know, I just zone out, because I remember she usually call a lot. So I'd leave the house, for example, 9:30, and by 10 o'clock mommy calling. And like, mommy, I just left the house. Why you call? And she'd be like, just checking up what happened, you know, how things, whatever, you got to school safe enough, yada yada yada, and all of that. Because I struggle with something like, people will tell me, when you reach whatever, let me know. And I don't remember to tell you. That's just me, and people have to check. And so she would always say, when you reach, let me know. And then I just hardly let her know. So when I remember, I'll let her know. Sometimes she have to call and say, so didn't I not tell you, you know, to let me know when you get to where you're going? I say, yeah, mommy, Marie, what happened, whatever, whatever. Sometimes she'd call. If she don't get me, she leave a voice message. Hi, Chantal. This is your mother, Victoria. call me. Love you. Bye. And then I just smile or laugh at the voice messages. And trust me, I really wish I could get those calls, you know, today. I wish I had those voice messages to listen again. Yeah, she was just really family oriented, you know. So it was just really rough. So I detached myself. I had questions. I questioned God, you know, because I wanted to know why know, what do I do know, you know. And at the funeral, God was so good. I don't know. You slept out the entire funeral because the night before we had prayer meeting and everything, and so you were up playing with the other kids that were, you know, that attended. And so for the entire funeral, you slept it out. So that was good. At the funeral, I was just numb. I was just numb. You know, I was just staring. I went to the, when I was at the altar looking at the body, the body really didn't really look all that like mommy, but I knew it was her because she had this mark on her hand, and I looked for it. I was looking carefully in the casket. I even touched her hand, and she had this mark. And when I touched it and when I saw the mark, I knew that it was her for sure. And you know, we drove down to Manchester to the burial. I was just still numb. I was just staring. I just couldn't believe, like, God, really? And you know, what do we do now? And you know, this is my only mother. This is our only mother. What do we do? And I was standing at the graveside, and it became real to me when they started to lower the body in the ground. And I don't know, but there was somebody at that graveside that grabbed me, because it's either I was about to stop them or I was about to go in there too. But that is when I lost it, and somebody grabbed me. I don't remember who, but somebody was at the graveside and they grabbed me. You know, they were saying it's going to be okay, and I was just bawling. They said it's going to be okay. Don't worry. But of course, I didn't want to hear any of that. But it was just rough. It has been rough. But everything that she did, I really wish she was here today. You know, now that I'm in a position to do better and to do things, I wish she was here to benefit. It's very hard knowing that when either of us get married, she won't be there. You know, it's hard to know that she won't be at any more graduations, any more school functions. It was just really rough. It was just, and it has been rough. And I know it's harder for you because you don't have much, you know, you don't have much memories to rely on, because that's what I use. Without them, I don't know what would happen. And I'm just trying to stand firm in the fact that I will see her again, because I know she's in heaven. I just know it, and I just can't wait, you know, to see her again and that sort of thing. And I remember vividly that she wanted to have a daycare. She wanted to stop working. She wanted to stop doing nails and stop doing the other side job. And she wanted to have a daycare. And, you know, it's just sad to know that all of that didn't come through. Because, as I said, she really loved kids and the elderly. And what really keeps me grounded sometimes is just the fact that my mother would give anybody, stranger or family member, her last. So what keeps me is the fact that she's not here anymore for us to help or do anything for her. But whoever along the way I can help, I will. And helping them just reminds me of the life mommy lived. And I just feel like I'm helping her too, even though she's no longer here with us on earth. You know, and I'm just so grateful for the prayers she prayed. I'm grateful for the sacrifices she made. And yeah.
Okay. How do you cope today without her?
Today, it's just God. Some days I don't even know how. It's just God. And some days it's just memories. It's just relying on the good conversations we had, and just the things that we did, and just the fact that God just not gonna leave me, you know. As I said, He positioned us in a way where, you know, I was able to do some things, and, you know, put people in our lives that were able to help out and all of that. And I just know He hasn't forgotten us. And as I said, the prayers, and it's just memories. And it's just, as my mommy didn't really like taking much pictures, she wasn't that kind of person. So for the few pictures I have, you know, that those are what I look at. For the few videos I have, don't have much. And it's just remembering. So, and just the fact that she has worked hard for us to be where we are today, you know, and just having you in my life gives me everything that I need to continue, because, you know, you're the only other direct connection or other part of her, because, you know, just the two of us she had. And so, you know, just once you are okay, I'm all right. Because I remember after the passing, I became, because I'm sociable, right? I love people and all of that. But I know that kind of reduced after the passing, and I started having more mood swings, all of that stuff, because there are times when I just get in my head, and it's just like just thinking about everything that she's missing, or just thinking about everything that, you know, you'd want to do with a mother today. You know, and then me, it's just so hard, you know, because it's Mother's Day. And it's, yeah. So just moments like those when you would want to celebrate her, like, yes, we can still celebrate, but, you know, it's different. It would have been different if she was physically here with us. You know, the appreciation that you'd want to show and all of that, you're not able to do it anymore. You know, and then she... And then sometimes I just think back, because she had this look, like she didn't beat any of us or anything like that. You know, she had a look though. And if she says stir and Chantal, Jaim, we know, so we're supposed to step away though. Right? We've never found out what comes after the look, because we were obedient. You know, we just stop automatically. Once you hear Chantal in her stern voice, Jaim in her stern voice, mm-hmm. we say, all right, we know, so if we pull up with socks, we know, so we're doing something. And we're not supposed to stop. She gave us a look, and that was it. And so coping, it's hard. I'm still, you know, trying, but as I say, it's just the memories, it's just the sacrifices, it's the prayers, it's the comfort, it's just me having a personal relationship with God for myself, and knowing that I've seen God, you know, the hands of God in my life since the passing of mommy. In that there are opportunities that I got that I don't know how I got them. There are people who, you know, have spoken to me, or who tell me that they've admired this, admired that, and I don't know how people like that telling small me that. And it's just because of God. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just really hope that God will just preserve Auntie Donna, because I just wanted something big for her, because she had a lot to do with it, because Grandma already passed. As I said already, may her soul rest in peace. And my father is still alive. And I just want to make, you know, I just want to be able to be in a position where I can just do big things for them. And of course, help other people I may know or don't know. And of course, you know. So those are the things that keep me going. Just the mere fact that, you know, because the whole family-oriented mommy was and all of that. And just her teaching. Because I can remember one of the times she said to me that, listen, this is my story. I got pregnant early, and she told me that this will not be your story. You hear me? And I said, yes, mommy. And so, of course, there are a lot of things that I avoided growing up and all of that. And it's just because of her teaching. It's just because of the faith and the trust and everything that she had in me. Because she was, as I said, she was my biggest supporter. And of course, I was closer to my mother than my father. Because I lived mostly with mommy and all of that, and she was just easy to talk to. She was respectful and helpful. Like, there were days when she would probably be on the bus and she would see a stranger and give them her bus fare and then walk home. And by the time she gets home, you know, she would say, you know, feet hurting, all of that and all of that. And I mean, there's a lot of things she did that I couldn't understand as a teenager, because I don't understand how you give away your money and then walk. And she'd tell me, God will provide. And then she just soak her feet. Like I said, she was a cosmetologist, so she just soak her feet, scrub, or just pamper or whatever, and she good. And she just kept it going because she was just believing, just working for what you want and providing for family. And I just really respect all of that, and I'm just really grateful for all of that. You know, it's not easy. And I don't know who might be listening to our conversation, who might, you know, be in a similar position, you know, like us. I just want to encourage somebody who is listening. Just hug your mother tighter today. You know, your mother or a mother figure or whatever it is, you know, that you have. Hug them tighter today, because today is just important, you know.
Yeah.
And it's showing appreciation and love at all times, and just respecting your parents, your family and all of that is just so important. Because as I said, today is all we have, and it's important. The memories, just start making good memories, documenting, you know. And for those who might not have a good relationship with their mothers or mother figures in their life, I just want you to know that it's just not worth it to not have a good relationship. Once those relationships are able to mend, just mend them. And for those who will be celebrating, you know, their mothers physically and all of that, this Mother's Day, you know, just be a little bit more intentional than usually would be, you know, just go all out, because they deserve it. Mothers are so precious. We are because of them. And just to remind people that it's important to just have a personal relationship with God for yourself. Because as I said, I would be ungrateful to say that I don't believe in God. I'd be ungrateful to stop my walk. You get me? So as much as I had my questions, and there was a time in my life when I was just crying because I didn't know what to say to God, because of what I knew for myself and because of the relationship I had for myself with him, I was able to trust him that that all things will work out for my good, you know. And and that's just what I'm holding on to. And I'm happy that you are also developing your relationship with him. You're 14 now, and you say you got saved at 13. You're going to be 15 this year. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, as you're here with me now, to just try your best at all times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because the prayers that our mother prayed for us, I think they're still relevant today. And just pray for yourself as well. As I said, just develop your own relationship. And trust me, God is real. The Spirit of God is real, you know. And it has helped me. It has been helping me, still helping me along the way. Because there are a lot of things that I am able to do that I just don't know how. I just don't know how. And people ask me sometimes, how you do this? I say, I don't know, God. One of the favorite response I had was, but God. Because I don't know. There are days that I have high days and I have low days. There are days when I can just think about the memories and the sacrifices and just smile. And there are days when I can think about them and just break down. You know, yeah, that's just how I cope. Yeah. What else? Do you have anything else?
No, that's my last question.
Okay. Did you want to say anything else? I don't know. Did you want to say anything to listeners?
Just love your mom, just like what Chantal said. Show respect to your family members.
Yeah. All right, as I said earlier, thank you for talking to me. The good thing about this is that we have this recorded for life. You can listen to it anytime we want.
Mm-hmm.
And as usual, I just really hope it will reach somebody. And yeah, I, as you know, because you've been listening to the podcast, that I like to end on the show with affirmation. So I want to know what yours is for the week, what your I am is for the week.
I am brave.
Yeah, you are. And as you continue to believe that you are, I just hope that you'll just the little memories that you have, and for what I've shared with you, and for what your father will tell you, or anybody else, because, you know, Auntie Nikki, mm-hmm. Auntie Pat, anybody else will tell you, just use it to your advantage. Just know that our mother loved us. She lived a good life. She was a really good lady. She was helpful. As I said, she had faith. Her faith was on another level. She loved God. And I believe she is with God now. And we just have to make sure that we live a good life, to make sure that we put ourselves in the position to see her one day. And I think I'm just going to say my affirmation is, I am coping. Yeah. But yeah. So thank you, brother, for talking to me today.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know that I love you. And as long as you're okay, whatever it is that is happening around me, I am able to manage. You know, if my world is tearing apart, once you're okay, me good. So just pull your head up. Just keep doing your best. Be good to everybody, as you know, as you possibly can. If it be possible, just be good to everybody.
Yeah.
And I'll just end on that. So, thank you. And I love you dearly.
I love you too.
All right. Thank you for talking to me again.
All right. So, if you made it this far, then you are one of my favorite humans. I'd also like to think that you enjoyed this episode. So, do me a favor, no? And rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast so you can be one of the first to be notified when a new episode is available. Also, tell a friend to tell a friend and grow with us. I hope something resonates with you from this episode so you can use it to your advantage and keep going. Blessings, always.